You're listening to the Clean Comedy Podcast with your host, James Creviston.
Hey, everybody. It's James with the Clean Comedy Podcast. Today, I'm coming to you with my good friend, David Studebaker. David Studebaker and I just went to Alaska for 3 days and is it two nights? I don't know. We're still at nighttime when we left. I don't know.
Yeah, it's Monday. Well, we got back Monday morning. Today, Wednesday. So yeah.
We are all kinds of messed up for so many reasons, but we went to Alaska. And the first thing is not a lot of comedians go to Alaska. We learned that while we were there. So many people were excited that we were there. We did two shows, one in a place called Delta Junction, which is super far away from Fairbanks, which is where we flew into. And then we did a show in Fairbanks at a big church, Friends Community Church. Delta Junction was at a place called the Trophy Lodge, owned by this guy, Tim, who is awesome. And literally, Tim is one of the coolest people ever. Like, literally, we had so much fun with him.
Great dude. You
want to talk about a down-to-earth, really cool guy who works hard. And first of all, I don't think he sleeps. I just want to say that right now. I don't think he does sleep.
I didn't see it.
He was constantly working. He was up before we were and out, like after we were out, like when we were going
he owns and operates 54 businesses all within a 5 mile radius.
he owns an entire town in Alaska called Delta Junction, but it was a great time. The flights up there were long, and the flight home was the longest, but the flights up there were long. It was a beautiful place. Bugs that are the size of your head. Light, like 21 hours out of the day. That was the hardest part. That was the hardest part for me, was it being light and not being able to like figure out when I should sleep and stuff. So the first night I was wrecked because I didn't go to sleep till like 2 o'clock, and then I just kept waking up like every hour or two.
Well, James, you know, the best way to go to sleep is to listen to Lone Star Lance by David Studebaker on Audible. Available on Audible right now. Link in the show notes. Lone Star Lance on Audible. Your favorite novel on Audible. But yes, continue. How dare I interrupt
you? No, that was good. That was a good plug. Let's see. I'm trying to think. So Friday we flew in, we went to a couple places in Fairbanks. We went to a co-op. Then we went to a comic book and game store, because if you guys know, I'm a super big Magic
Yeah, both James
nerd.
And I went, we both had to go to our happy places. So we wanted to feel like we were at home. So James and I, first I went with James to my happy place, an organic grocery store. And then James went to his happy place, a Magic the Gathering and comic book store. And we were like, okay, we feel at home now.
I spent a lot of money at the Magic store. It was an awesome store. So I'm very happy. And then we drove out to Delta Junction, which was about an hour and a half away. Now we drove out there and we didn't get there till almost 8 o'clock at night. Is that right? We got there to almost 8 o'clock.
No, it was like 6:30.
Was it?
Yeah. No, we landed about 2 something. It took like 100 years for our bags to come. I don't know. I love that airport. Don't get me wrong. Fairbanks Airport.
Not our bags. Your bags.
My bags.
I carried a backpack. I'm smart.
I was like legally blonde coming in. But yeah, it took quite a while. I don't know. It's not a large airport. I don't know. They were taking the scenic route to get the bags there. But yeah, I got the bags and then did our shopping and then a couple hours out there. What a beautiful drive, by the way. Wow.
Beautiful drive. We saw
their like random small lake is like, we were like, oh my goodness. And
We went to a small lake. Was it Birch Lake? Is that the name? Which was?
Yep. And it has your bum is now implanted. James was doing some selfie action, FaceTiming, and then he stepped back. Feet went out from under him, and that bum of his, it created a crater on that ledge, and it's there still to this day.
It is. So if you go there and visit, you'll see my butt imprint in the lake there.
It's called Butt Lake now.
James Butt Lake. And so that was fun. And then we got into Trophy Lodge. We had amazing dinner that night. We had prime rib. I had prime rib. David didn't have prime rib because he doesn't eat that stuff. But I ate prime rib and it was giant. So if you go look at my Instagram, it's on Instagram. I put it all on there. And then we hung out that night with Tim. And then the next day.
Well, you hung out with Tim. I So I only got like 2 hours of sleep.
Well, I tried LAX, to go to sleep like three times.
Yeah. LAX, as I said in my Instagram post, continues its streak as the worst airport west of LaGuardia. We had heinous things there. We won't get into that. Also, Delta, on both of our flights there, we were in the cheap seats. So we had the leg room where, you know, like a Russian gulag. That's the kind of leg room they gave us. And we had like just one dude was like 6'4", 280 our row. We were very packed in. So I didn't sleep. I was like totally disoriented. But thankfully, so James had the presidential suite and it was quite spacious. Two rooms, a sitting area. He had the big one. I had the smaller one. However, one of the rooms in the smaller one did not have windows. So I was very, now I slept really well in Alaska because my rooms were dark. James, very large windows, beautiful view. James had a great view. Presidential suite, fantastic. But yeah, James struggled in Alaska.
And sleep, I did terrible. I did sleep before our show on Saturday. I like took like a nap in the afternoon.
Yeah.
That was fine. I could take naps. If it's too bright at night, I can't sleep. Also, I need to be cold. So then like I had to have the window open to get the air, which means this light had to come in. So it was like this bad combo for me. So it was like, whatever.
Also, but their mosquitoes are the size of seagulls.
My hands.
I assassinated more mosquitoes there than any. I usually don't like killing bugs, but mosquitoes, like there's no purpose for them in this world. I've actually talked to animal people about this. They serve no purpose. I assassinate them anytime I can.
And I ate bug spray twice.
James, James was dousing himself and caught a spray in the mouth a couple times.
So that happened there. We did a great show on Saturday with a rambunctious, fun crowd.
They were awesome.
They were rambunctious. I liked them. They had great energy. They did not like me and they did not like one of my jokes. But I mean, they were nice enough. They laughed at the stuff together. But one of my jokes that normally murders, it like works. I've never heard this joke not work. Died. It died a painful, terrible death there.
It was rough.
That was rough. That was a rough one. I was like, oh man, wow, they hate me. To be fair, I won them over, lost them, won them over, lost them, won them over, lost them, won them over, lost them. And then I just couldn't win him over again. That was kind of it. I mean, it was literally win, lose, back and forth. So it was fine. Also, my energy is different than David's. And also, being tired, I was just trying to, like, do stuff. And, like, I wasn't as engaged as I normally am. Because the next show that we did, like, that night was great. David murdered that night. Tell him what you had to do afterwards.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so objectively, it was a very, very nice, strong hour-long set. A woman had said, oh, you should do an encore. There was more, because I interact with the audience a lot. And she's like, there was more you could have talked to them about. So and I was like, oh, yeah. But encores in comedy are usually not particularly fun. Tim... American hero Tim said, oh, there's these 10 guys coming in from out of town. Would you be willing to do an encore for them when they get in? And so, you know, I'm happy to serve. So, but there was like a half an hour, 40 minute gap where between when the show ended and when those guys got there. So most of the audience was now in the back bar area, you know, getting drunk and talking to each other and having, you know, so what I had is like, and 10 guys who are more like 8 guys. I don't know where the other two went, but like 8 guys who were new to the whole thing and very tired. They'd been like traveling since Wednesday. They were more tired than James and I. So didn't have a lot of energy. And then there was like maybe 8 or 10 people left over from the show. So it was just kind of wonky. And I didn't want to do like stuff I had already done. But like, it was just interesting. But once I realized they were sports fans, I'm a big sports fan. So I just kind of started roasting the teams they like, and it got a couple of chuckles, but it was funny because the hour, the show itself was like amazing. And then that half hour, but it was nice. Like, the guy who seemed like he was not having a great time actually said he did have a great time. He was just very tired. So it was fine. I was happy to serve and you know, Tim treated us well. So I was happy to do it. But it was amazing. Like James, I was like, James, do you want to do any time? He's like, no. He's like,
they hated me, man. Yeah, they hated me. And I don't know what it was, because they liked me as a person and everyone was friendly. They just didn't. They didn't. I don't.
There were a couple of miscues and it was wonky. It was also, it was like, because when that first bit didn't do well and kind of alienated them, it was like watching a boxer where like they're usually really good. And then they get hit with a punch they were not expecting at all. And then the rest of the fight, they're just kind of like, you know, like,
yeah, just trying to stay alive.
Like, just trying to stay alive. And just, you could tell the eyes.
Just make it to the bell. All I want to do is make it to the bell. That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
So that wasn't bad. And then we, and I tried to even win him over for any of you that don't know, if you're listening, I'm standing up and showing my Alaska Root shirt. I was born in Fairbanks, Alaska. I was actually born up there. Right outside.
And if you can see mine, it shows Walt Disney and Mickey. I was born at Disneyland on my shirt. You can see
that I believe. But I really was born there. So they were rooting for me. They wanted to have that win for me. And that was fine. The second day we went out on the boat with Tim on
that was the first Saturday. We flew in Friday. We were comatose. And then Saturday during the day, we went on, I would say objectively, the most gorgeous river lake. It started as a lake and turned into a river. It was stunning. If you want to see, if you go to my Instagram page, it starts out with me performing in a kitchen, which, by the way, the kitchen had the best lighting to set up for Tim's for the lodge. Yeah. So it was very fun getting to perform in the kitchen. So if you see me performing in the kitchen, go over, because there's a video of us on the boat. You know, riding along that river and lake, and then a couple of pictures. Clean Comedy Pod Instagram is on. My Instagram is my name, at David Studebaker.
I'll put the links in the show notes.
Yeah, too. And then James on Clean Comedy Pod IG, he has some pictures too. But that lake is, perfect. It was like another planet. It was so gorgeous. The clouds on the water. And then, you know, you had two different kinds of water meeting. You had the glacier water, which is like brownish, and then the lake water, something else, sea water, whatever. That was clear. And so they like don't mix like oil and water. So there's this really cool spot where it's like you draw a straight line. It's like clear here, brown here. But the different trees, I mean, you'd be going through one area of the river. It's like, looks like you're in like, you know, the swamps of Florida. Then you have like foresty. It was spectacular. But I'm glad I'm there in June, because they said like most of the year it's frozen solid. Stunning.
And the best part of the whole thing is it was so quiet there. It was quiet.
Yeah, it was
like
crazy.
This unnatural quiet. Yeah. Like if you ever watched A Quiet Place, it was like that, dude. It was like that all the time. There's no, so I'll go back to that after when I get back to LAX. But we had that show. It was great. Woke up Sunday morning, talked to Tim, hung out a little bit, got everything packed. And then we went Fairbanks.
To the North Pole. Yeah.
Oh, we did. We go to the North Pole.
Just outside Fairbanks, there's a whole city. It's called the North Pole. There's a whole city where it's all like Christmas themed.
Santa Claus stuff.
And they have this giant store that's every. If I was rich, I would have bought, because I love Christmas. If I was rich, I would have bought like so many ornaments. And they actually had some cool like Alaska
stuff,
touristy stuff. Like they had like a mini moose and Mickey Moose, like Mickey Mouse with a moose shirt with that. And they had like Santa Claus's workshop and office and the whole thing. And then they had an actual Santa.
Santa was there
all day. Yeah, you could, and like there was like an old dude just kind of sitting next to him on a chair, talking to him,
taking out with
kids on the lap, and then we got some cool pictures. I have to post the North Pole ones, but they'll be up by the time this airs.
I think I put some up on Instagram too. So
yeah,
go check that out.
But I'm gonna do a separate post. It deserves a separate post.
Oh yeah, totally.
So I'm gonna do a separate one with that. And then there was like just a random dude asleep on a bench. And they had like the biggest like statue of Santa Claus I've ever seen. Real reindeer. I mean,
real
reindeer. Yeah.
And you couldn't eat them though, sadly, which I really
I did not want to do that. But so we got to Fairbanks. Fairbanks is funny. It wasn't what I was expecting because it actually kind of reminds me. I'm from, like, I lived a lot of my life in Sonoma County, which is in Northern California. And like an hour north of San Francisco. And actually it kind of reminded me of that, like the demographics and the buildings and the whole thing. So it wasn't like, I'm expecting, you know, the northernmost like metropolitan city in America. And that's the thing, if you're listening to this and you don't know where Fairbanks is, because I didn't really know when I started this, go on Google Maps, type in Fairbanks and see how far north this is. I thought like people who lived in like Calgary in Canada, like that was far. This is like a whole United States worth north of that. But it was like just a really cool town and really nice people. And yeah, and then you could take it there. So we went to the venue for the church one.
Yeah. And the funny thing about the city is it's a city. Like I think it was like 34,000 people there or something.
It seemed like more than that. It seemed bigger than that.
I think when I looked it up, I'm going to look this up. Yeah. I'm going to Google it. Let's see.
It seemed bigger. Wow.
It did seem bigger. That's the thing, right? There is 31,427 people there, actually. 31,000.
That's it?
That is it. It seemed bigger.
It seemed bigger. Maybe they live on the outskirts or something. Oh, but they are army bases. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
But then the other part of that is that everything there was a one, like, two-lane road. There was only two-lane roads everywhere we went. There was nothing bigger than that. Even the road all the way out to Delta was a two-lane road all the way out there. So it was very interesting how that worked out. And then we went to friends.
Spent a lot of time on Old Steese Highway.
That's right.
The ends of Old Steese.
I don't know why that's funny to me.
Who doesn't love a good Old Steese? Sorry, continue. I digress. No,
that's okay. So then we went to the friends church in Fairbanks. That was where we did our second show. That show went really well. We had a great crowd. We had good everything. I mean, it started off rough because we weren't sure how to get your music going and some of the things that we needed to do.
There were some sound issues, yeah, but we got it figured out. Shout out to Joel and Kathy.
They were awesome.
Clutch. But yeah, well, and it was funny because I like to, James had a great set. He did very well.
That went amazing, actually.
Because he listened to me, you know what I'm talking about? There was a guy, as I said, I like to interact with the audience. There was a guy who, first of all, there's no one in the front row.
Nobody in the front row.
Full, but no one's front row. And then like this old guy was great. His name was Randolph. He walked in. He was full of stories. But there was like, I do a bit about hot yoga, how I don't like hot yoga. And when I asked anyone that has done yoga there, a woman Sage. Raised the hand of her fiance in the very back, I never would have seen, but because she raised his hand, I looked deep. I was like, ooh, that's my guy. So I ended up bringing him on stage. He sells lumber for a living. He chops down trees and sells lumber. He sells like lumber, like door to door. I don't know. He's a firewood salesman. I'm like, this is so Alaska. I'm a firewood salesman. But it was funny.
And he was having a fire sale that night.
So, but from the neck
that's why they
up,
hated my jokes.
from the neck up, he looked exactly like a yoga instructor. Like he had the beard, the kind of the really sweet smile hidden under the beard, the hair, the whole thing. He looked like, but it was deceptive because as soon as he stood up, he had like the dirty shirt and the dirty work pants, which actually he said those are his nice ones. Those are the ones that aren't dirty, and the boots that have seen a lot. So he was a fantastic guy. I Celine Dion'd him. If anyone has been to my shows, you know what that means. And then we had a great Q&A. It was really cool. So James did about 15 to 20 minutes, and then I did about an hour, and then we did like a half an hour plus QA, which is really cool. I always love shows where I do QAs a lot for like college shows and stuff like that, and virtual shows. So whenever there's a Q&A, it's really fun because you can get some really good stories, you can really connect with the audience, and it's just a really fun way to kind of like have a more funny and serious talk and kind of connect on a different level. You know, because when you're doing stand-up, it's like usually, you know, it's like they want to hear the fart jokes and, you know, let's keep it moving. And it was really fun to get to do it with James because normally I do them alone. But, you know, James and I have had similar experiences, but different experiences too. So he brings a different perspective. And it was just really great, really awesome. And they bought quite a few Lone Star Lance.
Yes, they did.
The paperback available on Amazon, and the audiobook available exclusively on Audible. And
is there a Kindle version of that? Do you not have a Kindle?
Oh yeah, ebook. Yeah, okay. Kindle. And they have Whisper.
Save the trees, guys. Save the trees.
That's right. If someone wants to listen to the audiobook and read the ebook at the same time, it's called Whisper Sync. It is optimized for Whisper Sync, so you can hear me and read it at the same time.
You do the voice for it.
I can be the cure for, I narrated it.
Do you do different voices for the different characters, or
Oh, okay, listen, good. I've got theater training, baby. I'm not going to not put that to use. You got to be careful with audiobooks because you don't want to be like too over the top with the characters. You
like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, you want to kind of, you know, do more of a film style because film is supposed to be more understated. And you don't want to go too crazy because there are people like me. I listen to audiobooks to go to sleep sometimes. So you don't want to be like too much like, yeah, you know, and then people are, you know, yeah, they're woken up or whatever. So, you know, I try to keep it a nice smooth tone. So if you want to be awake and listen to it, you'll enjoy it. But hey, you want to put on that sleep timer. You're in Alaska. You're having trouble sleeping. Put on Lone Star Lance by David Studebaker.
It was good. Overall, the best part of that trip was just hanging out with you. That was just the best
part.
Yeah,
I had a blast. It was really cool to get to spend that time together.
And then
really
we
awesome.
And then we and then we flew back on Sunday night after the show. We went to the airport, flew out.
Red eye, baby. Red eye.
Red eye, man.
Flew out of
10, yeah. Landed in Minneapolis at 6.
We took the scenic route back to LA. We took Fairbanks to Minneapolis to LA. The scenic route.
Left Minneapolis at 7. We literally walked from one gate to the other, walked right on the plane. So there was no big deal there. That was nice. Flew from Minneapolis to LA, got back at LA about almost 8:30, 8:45, somewhere in that time frame, and waited for our bags. My wife came and picked us up. But as soon as we stepped out of the airport, it was chaos. If you've ever been to LAX, it's people yelling, whistles. Like, it was
it's always
opposite of what we just spent for 3 days.
Oh, yeah. It's always under construction. It totally, it was like, you're right. It's like, that's the funny thing about flying that, like, you know, with technology, the technology we have to fly somewhere so quickly.
Right.
It's like, it's so disorienting and interesting to go from, you know, within a day, you know, 8 hours, whatever it was, our flight there, you know, we go from basically a completely different planet. Again, you look on the map from LA to Fairbanks, that is so far away. In just like half a day, we're in a completely different world. And then same thing. Yeah, we come back and oh my God. And then, you know, you and I were so tired. It's so funny because I slept horribly on the flights. You did a little better than me on the flights, but not really. You did terribly. You know, you did better than me the night before. Going into the trip, you did better.
Yeah, I was
the night
fine.
Before. But you did terribly there, and then we both did poorly on the way back. But it
took me 2 days to recover. I slept all day Monday, and then Tuesday I slept most of the day. I went to bed early, and so now I'm kind of back a little bit. But you're in Arizona, so you're probably throwing off a little more again.
Yeah, I have a newborn at home and a toddler, so not a lot of sleep to go around getting home. And then I drove today. So today's Wednesday. We got on Monday morning. So I drove today. I had a gig in Arizona tonight and another one tomorrow. So and then I'm driving back tomorrow night from Arizona after the show. So I'll get in like 3 something. So yeah, the exhaustion is real for me. But I'm still, like I was telling James, like, yeah, I'm still recovering too. Like but hey, you know what? I got a great deal from a hotel app and got a hotel I probably couldn't normally afford. So maybe I'll get a good night's sleep tonight, you know?
There you go.
Here it is in the background. I'll give a plug. The Renaissance Hotel in Phoenix, Glendale area, right next to – I'm a Niners fan. So, you know, the Arizona Cardinals, our rival, are right there. The stadium's right – I can throw a
So if the stadium burns down or something, you know who did it, just so you guys know.
Yeah.
But also, I had the most terrible 24 hours recently, by the way, since I got home. So I got home. I got home last night. We have chickens in our backyard. We keep a couple chickens for our daughters. They want them. Last night, I had to fight off a raccoon. He was trying to take one of our chickens.
Oh no! Oh no!
Today, the gardeners of our house let my kid's new dog out, who hasn't been trained to be called to come back. So she was missing for a bunch of hours. Oh. While we were looking for her, my oldest daughter got stung by a bee in her eye.
Oh.
So the last 24 hours have been terrible. So I know I was like, can we just go back we got the dog back. Everybody, we got the dog back. She hid in someone's backyard. She like squeezed through someone's fence and just hid in their backyard, just sat there. They came out and saw her and were like, what's going on? And she wouldn't let anyone near her. So they like took a picture. She has like a little collar with her number and all this stuff. And then they called and we were able to go. They're just around the corner, thank goodness. But we searched for hours. I drove around neighborhoods it was terrible. In the hot day of LA today. It was very hot today. So I walked around and stuff. So that was my last 24 hours, but I'm glad. Like, Alaska was fun. We did a lot. We're planning on doing more stuff up there. I'm planning on going up there with some other comedians too, and then sending other comedians. I can't say yet because it's not super official, but there is someone going up there in August. And I'll have him on the podcast too before he goes and probably after he comes back too, so we can talk about it and see what he thought and stuff. He's going to be a different kind of comedian than he's been on the podcast before. So just know that it's someone who's been on the podcast before. He's different than David and I ever would be. He's not going to do the church show, I don't think. We're trying to get – well, here's the thing. He's done Dry Bar, so he does at least have half an hour of material. So I'm trying to see if I can get him – book him half an hour and see if we can get that done. If not, no biggie. At least he gets, you know, to go up there and do that, do the other thing. But I think it'll be a good time, and, you know, it'll be fun, and it'll keep building up. We'll go up there. I think we'll probably do August, and then we'll probably do October, and then November – and then January and February and March, I think, is what we're going to do. So.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Tim said his door is always open. He said to me, like, oh, David, we want to have you back every couple months or something like that. But I, you
he
know,
did not invite me back, by the way. He did not invite me back.
So, but as honored as I am, it would be good to keep a variety of comedians. However, James, if I can put dibs in for next March, would like to do that, because I talked to a pilot there who actually, what a circuitous route. He was an LAPD cop for years in Newton, which is a tough area. And then he's a pilot, and he's now a pilot up in Fairbanks. So I was asking him, because everyone says, as James, you know, everyone when we're there, everyone's like, oh, you know, you got to come when it's snowing. And, you know, for me, I'm a desert like guy. I'm a LA guy. I'm here in Arizona. It's 110. It's the, you know, I'm fine. I love it. Snow, I'm not my natural habitat. And with flying, like, it's a little scary. Like, I don't want to, you know, it's, I don't know. Right. I'm a wuss.
Also driving. We don't drive in snow. So that's going to be awkward for us too.
Yeah. I've driven like a couple times and so, but I'm not like, you know, so, but, and for anyone who's thinking of going to Fairbanks, I was asking him, like, so people say to come during the snow because people are indoors more and they want to go to stuff. What's like a safe snowy month? So he said, like, your best March. Bet would be November and March. Yeah. Because he said you don't want to come in like October or September, because I don't want to say you don't want to, because you're probably booking other comedians, and if they're listening, you'll be safe. Don't worry. When the seasons change, apparently that's when it's like really hunting insane turbulence. Yeah. And then same thing, April, May, it gets crazy. And then he said like January, December, it's just, the snow is so crazy that if you're not a cold weather person, it's not going to be your thing. But I do know comedians, you know, who love cold weather. So if you like the snow, you like all that, go with James. But yeah, March. Yeah, if I can put dibs in for March.
Okay. We'll do March. I've got to get all that booked. Like, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm working. I'm tightening up my set. I'm tightening up my set, which we went over that. That was a big thing. Is I was trying to do. Here's my problem. This is a lesson for all of you out there doing it. Don't try to do new material and old material while you're trying to go do a new place. Like that those things, it threw me off. I didn't do well. I am doing better. I worked on all my stuff. So the second show went much better because I didn't throw in any of that new material. So I just did classics.
And also if, since this is a comedy, the other thing was that, you know, there's, if you, sometimes you have to, sometimes you have to do this amount of time. And if that's a stretch for you, you just got to stretch. But for this one, you were kind of artificially pushing yourself, I got why, to stretch really much longer. And like I was saying, I can go as long as you need me to do, you know, you didn't have to, you could do whatever you wanted, but it's always better to like, in that sort of a setting to, you know, go, you know, tie, like keep it as tight as you can.
Yeah. I should have done like 15 minutes and not try to go for 20.
Well, and then like at the church one, it was great because you did, you know, you just did your tight stuff. You did like one new bit in there, which is good. You know, it's good to mix in one, but you did the tight.
Well, it's because I took out another bit, the one that didn't work previously. So
And then you kind of, but at the end, you got done. You had a good set, and then you played around a little bit. And you went a little longer, and so it, you know, you had kind of, you got the job done, and you know, it's one thing if it's like a, you know, a set where you're trying to really hone, you know, get new material out. It's a showcase or an open mic or whatever. Or even if it's something where, but when it's like something like that, where you really wanted to hammer it, definitely good to play the hits. But I think the major problem though, is that you were trying to play the hits initially and one of the hits was not a hit.
Yeah. The hit that's normally a big hit actually is normally a great bit. It always does well. Died a terrible, terrible death in Alaska. And I was going to make shirts for that bit too. And I'm so glad I did not, because they probably would have choked me with the shirts for that bit. So.
Right. I totally forgot. What a punch. Oh, let me just say, for the funny stories, I meant to say this. That is hilarious. Oh my goodness. That is fantastic. If you had made those shirts,
they would have hung me with them. Like I would have been hung in Alaska by them.
That was spectacular. But there was a guy who he had been knocking back a few cocktails, not at the church, at the lodge. And he had like a really low, open
shirt.
Unbuttoned cut shirt. Older gentleman, having fun. And then I go to the bathroom after my set, and I see there's sleeves in the garbage in the bathroom. And then I come out, and that guy had now had a sleeveless dress shirt. It was like a dress shirt.
But it was also like ripped open Hogan style.
Yeah, he had like gone Hulk Hogan in the bathroom, ripped his sleeves off, ripped it open. And so, yeah, that was a unique.
And then he drove home afterwards, by the way.
Oh, boy. Oh, I didn't know that. Not a lot of traffic there, so hopefully made it safe. Yeah. And then it was great, too, because there was a guy. He was great. Darren, he's the chef at the lot.
Great chef, by the way.
Yeah, he was a great guy. But he was wearing, like, an Oakland A's shirt, Oakland A's shoes, Oakland A's socks. And I'm from the Bay Area. I'm a Giants fan. And I have quite a bit of Oakland A's roast material. If you don't know,
that might be the most Oakland A roast material in the world. You might be the curator of Oakland A's.
I may have cornered the market on that, but it was funny because he was a great sport, and it was some good moments. And I was making fun of that, but then one of like the big, you know, tough guys who came later, who was going to be there. This dude was like a mountain of a guy, you know, looked like he was built of concrete. He had gold teeth and an Oakland A's hat on. He didn't find my Oakland A's stuff quite as appealing. He liked it when I made fun of other people's teams, but not
his.
But yeah, he was not quite as down for the roast as Darren was. But yeah, it was a great time. And yeah, it was really fun getting to, I'm really glad I did that with you.
Yeah.
And a lot of love. It was fun to hang with you, but it was also like, it was cool to share that, you know, where it's like, there's so many things where like, if I'm doing shows, you know, I can like FaceTime with my wife or take pictures or whatever, but it's, you know, it's really fun to get to do that with you. And the other thing we were talking about is like, when you're doing shows like that, like in really cool areas where like people, you know, people pay money to go there. This is a touristy area.
We're professional comedians, you guys, we got paid to go there.
Yeah. So you have to kind of remind yourself, like, it's really cool. Like, you know, like we're getting paid to do this. You know, Tim's taking us for free out on this speedboat way out in this river and lake. But it's also interesting because, you know, as exhausted as we were, it was like, I feel like we weren't able to like fully enjoy it because we were so tired from the flight. And also you're focused, you know, you gotta be focused on doing your job. We're there to do a set. We're not there to party or, you know, whatever. So you like, what would be really cool is if like, there was like a day in between where like, or even like a day after, because it's like once you finish the sets, then you're like, oh, okay, you know, work is done. And then it's like, all right, now we're hopping on a flight with no leg room and we're gone. But on the other hand, we were so tired. We both were like, yeah, let's just, because we had some time after the second show, but we were just like, yeah, let's just go to the airport. A nice airport. What a nice airport.
Beautiful
airport.
Very comfortable, very nice. It was great.
Fairbanks Airport. Total pleasure.
So this is the thing, guys. As a comedian, book things out of your comfort zone. This is way out of our comfort. Well, at least for me, way out of my comfort zone. But it was something that, I'm glad. That's why I brought David, is because I knew it was out of my comfort zone. I needed that support. I needed to be able to get to do a good set, have a good show, have a good time, be able to pull off something like this. And I'm glad I did. I just said yes. Like, it was crazy. It was, I was asked to do it. And instead of being like, oh man, I don't have enough time, I just said, well, can I bring another comedian? Yeah. Yes, I'll do it. And then, like, I knew right away, okay, we're going to do this. So that was the best part.
Well, it's great. You're right. It's, you know, the thing is, like, the more that you do shows like that, the more that you perform for people, because, you know, like, listen, I don't scream Fairbanks, Alaska, but yeah, but like, over the, you know, 13 years, I perform for so many different people in so many different places. And the more that you perform for kind of, like James saying, like an audience that's different, you know, the more you're like, okay, now I know I can do that kind of audience. And you also start to see, like, you know, hopefully your material translates the full spectrum of people, and not every comedian, you know, can do that, but that, you know, that's what's great, is the more you do that, and the more you can get a sense of what works with different audiences, and kind of, you know, you're more comfortable going into wherever you go. And that doesn't always work. Not every audience is going to be great, not every place is great, but it's like, the more you build that confidence and that experience, the more it's like, you know, at least it's not daunting, and you feel comfortable accepting more stuff.
Yeah, the first show, I was very, you could tell I was very off kilter. It wasn't my norm, and I was very nervous. The second show, I was like, I have nothing to lose at this point. They hated my favorite joke. I lost them so many times. It was whatever. I was like, I'm just going to go in this and just go for it and have fun. And that's it. If I would have done that the first night, I think I would have had a better show, but I was so nervous. And I was like, when you're in high school and you want to date for the first time and you're very desperate and girls can sense that on you. That was me. I was very desperate for the attention. I wanted to get the dates, and it did not go as well as I wanted. They smelled the desperation. They for sure smelled the desperation. David went in there like, hey, ladies. He's mowed down the place. They were all like ready to throw their phone numbers and all their money at him. So it was good. It was nice. But I learned a lot. So I'm glad. And this is the thing. Do shows out of your comfort zone. I did a show in Hollywood like the 2 days before. Yeah, I think 2 days before I did that show. Like, we went to Alaska. So I went and did stuff. I doing things all over, and things that work in LA, for the most part, do work other places. You know, as long as you're, you know. Obviously, they're a little more political there, or they were leaning a little more political on stuff. They wanted some political comedy. I don't do political comedy, so I didn't really do that.
I just do fart jokes, so yeah. It worked out.
But they
well.
They loved the joke that I did about spanking kids. They went wild, buck wild for that one. That was it went off the rails. So it was good. It was a good time. And I learned that some jokes that I think would work, that I literally, if I would have, I would have bet all my money on that joke working there, 100%, all my money.
Yeah,
I would have lost all my money, every single penny, because that was not good. But yeah, lesson learned. I'll go back stronger with better material, more material, and I'll be able to go and I'm gonna make. I'm Fairbanks. When I come back to you, Delta Junction. When I come back to you, I'm gonna make you love that joke. I'm gonna make you fall in love with that joke. You're gonna want that joke. That joke's gonna be just for you. That's what I'm telling you right now.
And James said, you know, they all wanted to like throw money at me and do all that. What happened was after the set, a very nice inebriated man came over and he was like, "Hey, can I buy you guys a couple of drinks?" And James and I both don't drink, so we both were like, no, we're just going to have our water here. And he's like, okay, well, all right, I'm going to walk away awkwardly. And
I think that didn't win us any friends either. Yeah. They're like, everyone else was slamming everything under the sun. Yeah, good for that. You know, good for them. They're hardy people. They work hard. They're good. You could tell they wanted to blow off the steam. Like, it was the end of the week. They were
one of those audiences, which now I feel bad saying. I was going to say, they're one of those audiences where like they start the applause breaks like midway through the bit, like you have to talk through the applause breaks. But then James, not so much for James. Now I feel bad saying that because I had one.
I got one applause break for the spanking joke, and then I lost him later on. So the thing was I was desperate, and that's the truth. I really wanted them to like me. I thought like, oh, I had their goodwill, so I could kind of ride that gravy train. But you can't go into something thinking that you're gonna get a free pass. That is that's the tough lesson of comedy. There are no free passes. You have to work for it every single time. Even if the material works, they might not like the joke that you did, you know, like, and so it was fine. Besides that. Yeah, that was great. I can't wait to go back and make you guys love that joke. That's the thing. That's my only goal. I'm going to make that joke so good that when I come back, I'm going to get a 5-minute applause break for that dang joke.
He's going to print out shirts again. He's going to fly back home from Alaska with a bucket of shirts.
I'm going to fly back with no shirts. I'm going to sell every single one of those shirts for that. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, David, for going. I'm going to put all the show notes, all the links for Lone Star Audible. Lands for David, all Audio that stuff, Audible. There you go, yeah, all baby. That stuff. And I'll link the stuff for our Instagram. So you go look at all the cool pictures of Alaska and videos and all the stuff we did. It was fantastic.
It was great. What a great time. Thank you, James. It was such a blast going there with you.
Yeah, it was great. Thank you. Thank you, Tim from Trophy Lodge. Thank you, Tim, so much.
Tim.
You're the man. If you're listening to this, we are so grateful.
Oh man,
did I tell you he took us
on how handsome that guy was.
He left a selfie on my phone. He took a selfie and put it on my phone.
Nice.
So I have a selfie of him on my phone. I don't know if I can.
He's a handsome dude. Really, handsome guy and tall. I mean, you know,
he's like six something.
Yeah, well, I'm 6 feet and he was at least like 6'4", 6'5". He was tall, handsome, beautiful eyes. Like I said on stage, if I stared into his eyes.
Handsome Tim.
Yeah, handsome.
He took a selfie left on my phone.
Beautiful blonde hair. Beautiful long blonde hair. I said if I
chiseled jaw, dude. That dude's
if I
got,
look
yeah.
too much into I said if I look any more minutes into his eyes, my wife's gonna fly here from Fairbanks and get in between us. Because listen,
super nice.
I'm a heterosexual married man, but there's a power within Tim with his eyes and his face.
Blue eyes
stand
and
up to it. It's beautiful.
And he's just the nicest guy. Like literally the salt of the earth.
Great guy.
You're like, man, that's a guy you want to be friends with. Like even if like say we had just met him there, like he didn't own any of that stuff. Still a guy you want to be friends with. I love him. So Tim, this is to you. Thank you so much for having us. We can't wait to come back. Can't wait to send more people up there and have them fall in love with you, fall in love with Alaska, fall in love with the Trophy Lodge, all that stuff. And if you guys want to go to Fairbanks or you want to go out and go hunting or go to someplace like that in Alaska, I recommend going to Delta Junction. I recommend staying at Trophy Lodge. It's a very nice place. Good food, good people, good stuff. And Tim runs like hunting and expedition stuff out there too, amongst all the other things he does. I don't know how he does it.
Shocker! I abstain from that end of the.
We didn't fish or hunt. I wanted to really bad, but I mean we didn't have time. So I recommend going up there. We'll put links in there so you can go look at the Trophy Lodge and stuff and all that stuff. And thank you all so much for listening to the podcast. Thank you everyone who supports comedy. Thank you every comedian who listens to this. I hope you learned something. I hope you learned how good and bad gigs can be. Not that the gig for some, but just like. Yeah, how you could psych yourself out at a gig because that's literally what happens. So
printing shirts. Oh, that would be amazing.
I'm so glad I didn't. I'm so glad I didn't. Thank you everyone for listening. Have a good one. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.